name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast. Before you sit down, I want to come out of the festival item so that you can identify. First, identify who's in this item. You still come from the ground. This will be a good review of who is in this festival item. This is the feast of the entrance of the Mother of God into the temple. So before we look at who's in the icon, let's look at these buildings. These buildings represent the temple. We have here the smallest figure is the Mother of God. According to the tradition of our church, the Mother of God, even though she looks like a short adult, is only 3 years old. She is brought to the temple by her parents. Who knows the name of her parents? Joachim and Anna. And accompanying them are other virgins who do not have, by the way, their heads covered. Only the Mother of God has her head covered. She is greeted at the doors of the temple by a priest. This is Zechariah. Who is Zechariah? He is the father of what great prophet? John the Baptist. And then we have in this upper part of the icon, the Mother of God being attended to by an angel. So this icon is patterned on probably a 15th century Russian icon. And it reveals to us what we are celebrating. Now, you can sit down. This feast of the entrance of the Mother of God into the temple has a late appearance in the church. In the east, thanks to St. Andrew of Crete, we know that this feast was celebrated in Jerusalem in the 7th century. This is quite late. In the west, it even has a later appearance. Its first celebration occurs in Avignon during the pontificate of Gregory the 11th in 1374. So very late in the west and late enough in the east. The source of this feast is found where? Does anyone know? Is it in the New Testament? Do we hear about this feast in the New Testament?
No.
Where do we hear about this feast?
It's in a book called the Proto-Evangelium of James.
It is found in a book that is under the category of the apocryphal writings. These writings are not considered to be canonical. Therefore, they are not included in the body of the text of the Bible as we have it now. Nevertheless, as Vladimir Lossky likes to point out, this feast, even though it is not mentioned in the Bible, even though it comes from an apocryphal source, emerges from within the very living tradition of the church. Now, before we continue, we have to ask one other very important question. Did this event occur? Is this an historical event we are celebrating? Think. Where is the Mother of God residing when she is brought into the temple? What part of the temple?
The Holy of Holies.
Holy of Holies. Is it thinkable, is it possible that a little girl would enter the Holy of Holies of the temple in Jerusalem?
No.
Who enters the Holy of Holies? The high priest. How many times a year?
Once.
Only once. And before he goes into the temple, as occurred in the letter to Hebrews, he has to be sprinkled with blood in order to be purified, and then he will enter into the temple. So, based on what we have just said, given the late appearance of this feast in the east and in the west, given the fact that this feast has its origin in apocryphal sources utilized by the church, and given the fact that this is not an historical event, it's incomprehensible that anyone but the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies but once a year. Given all of this, why do we celebrate this feast? Why is this feast one of the 12 great festivals of our church? Those who were here last night, we had a two-hour vigil, two-hour-plus vigil. We are celebrating this feast. Here we are today, celebrating this feast. Why?
Well, it's the preview of the goodwill of God.
It is. Say it. Say it.
The preview of the goodwill of God.
It's the preview of the goodwill of God. How many are familiar with these words? We sing this in the Shofar. Today is what? The prelude of the goodwill of God, of the preaching, of the salvation of mankind. We celebrate this feast because it is a celebration that reveals to us that God works in and through his creation, particularly in and through human beings, so that his will can be accomplished in time and space. That indeed God does work through us in history so that his will can unfold and be revealed. Today is the prelude of the goodwill of God. We sing these words because this preview or prelude points to one human being foretold by the prophets and for all eternity was known in the mind of God as the one who would make possible for the pre-eternal Word and Son of God to enter time and space, taking on our human nature. Today is the prelude of the goodwill of God because it is the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, as a three-year-old child who is being prepared to become the new Holy of Holies. We celebrate this in order to see that something new has happened to creation, that something new is offered to us, not only in the past, but here and now, this very day. Today is the prelude of the goodwill of God, and the Virgin Mary will become the new tabernacle. Why will she become the new tabernacle? If the temple in the past was the old tabernacle, why is the Virgin Mary the new tabernacle? Because she is the temple of God. She is the one who is more spacious than the heavens. How can we say that she is more spacious than the heavens? Why do we say that? It's beautiful poetry in Greek, Latitera ton uranon. It sounds very beautiful. Why do we say that?
Because Because she contains us?
Because she holds within her womb what the heavens cannot contain. All of the heavens cannot contain the pre-eternal Word and Son of God, and yet she, as a human being, within her womb contains the uncontainable one, and therefore she is more spacious than the heavens. She is the new tabernacle. We celebrate this feast in order to rejoice in the fact that the new tabernacle has been given to the creation, the new tabernacle in the person of the Virgin Mary. Today is the prelude of the goodwill of God, because from this new tabernacle comes the incarnate Word, the Son of God, who enters into the world to take on our sin and our death, so that we might have new and eternal life. And for those who were here last night, if you were paying careful attention to the hymnody, what begins to be sung within this feast that is related to the feast of Christmas? We have hymns of the Nativity that are being sung in the context of this feast. Christ is born, glorify Him. We sang this last night. Christ is from heaven, receive Him. So this feast is a proclamation that indeed there is a new temple, there is a new tabernacle, there is a new Holy of Holies, and there is the new Adam, Jesus Christ. And the new Adam, together with the new Eve, who is the Virgin, make possible renewal of everyone and everything. Now let's go back to the idol. What do we have here? What is going on in this lower part of the icon?
She can't be received by Zechariah.
She's being received, and before she is being received, what is going on? There is a procession. Yes?
Yeah.
Do you see that? There is a procession. She is drawing near to the Zechariah, and then will be brought, by the way, you can see how this icon is, how the structure is copying a typical Orthodox church in Russia, because here we have a kind of royal door. The Virgin will pass through the royal door and go into the Holy of Holies. There is a procession for Zechariah and then to the Holy of Holies. How do we imitate this procession?
Baptism.
Baptism. How will we imitate it today? I can do it. We will have a procession from this space to the altar to receive the Eucharist, to receive the body and blood of Christ. As the Virgin enters the Holy of Holies, we also participate in the Holy of Holies. How? By being recipients of the body and blood of the Lord, by being recipients of the food of the kingdom, by being recipients of the medicine, as St. Ignatius of Antioch said, by being recipients of the medicine of immortality, from Pharmacopoeia Apollosos. Our procession is a procession to the Holy of Holies. We, like the Virgin, are recipients of the Word of God within our being. And therefore, because this feast is the revelation of the prelude of the goodwill of God, this is a feast pointing not only to the Virgin, but to us. just as she was called to receive into her very being the Word of God, so are we. Every time we draw near to the chalice and receive the Holy Eucharist, we are receiving within our being the pre-eternal Word and Son of God. We are receiving into our being the fire which cannot be quenched. We are receiving divinity into our mortal bodies and souls. We are receiving new and eternal life as we consume the banquet of immortality. We have a similar procession, just as the Virgin enters and approaches the Holy of Holies and enters the Holy of Holies, we too approach and enter the Holy of Holies. And using the thought of St. Maximus the Confessor, when the chalice is brought out into the nave itself is being transformed into the Holy of Holies, that indeed there is no dividing wall between heaven and earth, that because the Virgin has submitted to the Word of God, heaven and earth are one, because this little child has opened her life to the Holy Spirit and allows the Holy Spirit to possess her. Heaven and earth are one. Heaven and earth kiss each other, embrace each other, because the Virgin enters the Holy of Holies, and therefore into the very life of God. She shows how we are to be. She shows that each human being is called likewise to enter into the abode of God. This is why we were created. Today is the prelude of the goodwill of God, because in celebrating the Virgin's entrance into the temple, we are celebrating the renewal of creation by everyone and everything taking its abode within the Holy of Holies. So brothers and sisters, this event is an event precisely of the Church, an event which requires the eyes of faith, the mind of faith. It is an event that requires an opening of the mind and heart to the activity of the Spirit. And when we allow the Spirit to enter into our beings, then truly we know that what we celebrate this day is the prelude of the goodwill of God, the preaching of the salvation of mankind. Amen.